Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Yesterday at 3 p.m. Eastern, the L.A. Lakers officially lost the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. They lost the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. Well, at least this round of it, anyway. Because the sound of the trade window slamming shut was also the sound of a new player joining the competition. Enter Danny Ainge and the Boston Celtics. Danny Ainge and a war chest, which includes Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, and a possible 4 first-round picks this summer. It is stupid how much the Celtics have to deal. I mean, it's a joke how much they have to deal. The Lakers were firing a handgun. The Celtics have a bazooka and some surface-to-air missiles and a freaking tank. And now that arsenal is in the game. Boston does not have to wait and pace outside the Pelicans' door anymore, hoping for a chance to get into that fight. The Celtics are in that fight now. And believe me, they've got what it takes to win. They have a hell of a lot more of what it takes to win than the LA Lakers. So how perfect then that the very first game of the next round of the Anthony Davis sweepstakes would be Lakers v. Celtics in Boston. Lakers v. Celtics in trade rumors meet Lakers v. Celtics on the floor. Pretty fitting, right? In the dream scenario for Magic, Rob Pelinka, and every Laker fan, last night would have been the night that they broke out Anthony Davis. How sweet would that have been? They break out Davis, and they're right there in Boston. Instead, it was the night that they started a lineup of LeBron James and 4 guys who aren't Anthony Davis, but who were offered to the Pelicans, and then 3 more of them coming off the bench. And I got to be real now. They look like a completely different team from the last time they stepped on the floor. That hideous blowout in Indiana, man, that seemed like ancient history. Who were these guys? These were the same guys that LeBron tried to trade. These were the same guys that laid down and quit against Indiana. These were the same guys who looked like they all hated LeBron's guts. Who were these guys? Did you see the Lakers last night? These dudes had chemistry. These dudes were getting back on D. These dudes were knocking down shots. I mean, they were 22 of 41 from deep, and that's without Reggie Bullock and Mike Muscala, the newest Lakers, and actual three-point shooters. They weren't even playing yet. LeBron, another triple-double. Kyle Kuzma, 25 and 5. Brandon Ingram, who got hit with the Bron's going to trade you.
Because you can offensive rebound them, but most importantly, you have to transition.
Bron's going to trade you. That chant in Indy. Even he went for 11 and 7 in Boston. How about JaVale McGee? JaVale McGee, who got the even more brutal, not worth trading
rebounds, played in Golden chant last year and won a ring.
He had 17 and 8 against the Celtics. And then there's Rondo, Rajon Rondo, 17 points, 10 assists, and one amazing moment. L.A. down 1 with the ball. Go ahead and roll it.
10 seconds to go in the game. Ingram dribbles into the front court. Ingram still dribbling. Ingram to the rim. All the way to the basket. Blocked by Horford. Ball's loose. Grabbed by Rondo for the win. He got it! Rajon Rondo at the buzzer. A follow-away two-pointer. Lakers 129. Celtics 128. It's over!
Lakers Radio Network, the iconic John Ireland behind the mic. And that's Rajon Rondo coming back to his old city to ram a dagger through their chests. And that's the first time he's ever done anything like that. And that's not an exaggeration. That's not hyperbole. Rondo, despite his career, has never had a go-ahead field goal in the final seconds of a fourth quarter or overtime in his entire career, and picked a pretty freaking good time to do it. Magic and Pelinka could not beat the clock at 3 p.m., so Rondo beat it last night. Hey-o! Does not make up for not getting Anthony Davis. But man, it could have been so much worse. Could have been a hell of a lot worse. Play that out. Play out a loss there. That was just what Rondo needed and just what the Lakers needed after a week and a half of chaos and disruption and getting worked by Big West legend Dell Demps. That team in that locker room looked like they were ripping apart. And no, one win does not fix everything, but it sure as hell helps, especially when it comes against a good Celtics team. Again, only one game. But that could be the one game they need to kickstart them down the stretch. If the Lakers lose that game, especially when you have Lonzo getting all hilarious on Instagram after the trade deadline and his dad coming back to spew his typical garbage. Hell, how much better was it when nobody gave him a mic? Well, you talk about that fool. Talking about that fool and asking that fool to make a fool of himself is so tired. I mean, that feels like something from like 20 years ago. Seriously, what's fresher? Hammer pants or that fool being a fool?
Hammer time.
Anyway, you combine that with a full-on losing streak, a game against Philadelphia's Big Four on Sunday, and it could get really, really ugly. Suddenly, you might be looking at the possibility of going from Anthony Davis to maybe adding Carmelo Anthony. How the hell would that taste? In the middle of a losing streak, you think you might get AD and you end up with CA. You think you're adding a Swiss Army knife and you end up with a butter knife. The worst game of want, settle, get ever. But last night was not about that. Last night wasn't about the game. Last night was about what's to come. Because even if you think the Anthony Davis saga is over, you couldn't be more wrong. It didn't end at 3 o'clock. It just got interesting at 3 o'clock. Now we have less than 4 months for LA to figure out how to improve their offer. Now you have less than 4 months for Boston to figure out what they want to offer. And it's a joke how much the Celtics have to offer. Danny Ainge can get that deal done without offering all of his assets. The Lakers already offered all of theirs. All of theirs, not named LeBron. And then on top of that, you still have just over 3 months until the draft lottery. And we all know that, or we don't know yet, who's going to have the Zion pick. And if that turns out to be the Knicks, then it's going to get spicy as hell. You like those storylines? How about LeBron picking Davis for his team in the All-Star draft? Better yet, how about LeBron picking Durant, Kyrie, Kawhi, Klay, and AD? I mean, is there a guy who might be on the move this summer that he didn't draft? He's even making jokes with Ernie Johnson and Giannis about tampering.
With my first pick in the second round, I'm going with Anthony Davis.
You sure you want him to be your teammate?
I'm very sure of that.
Isn't that tampering?
No. Shots fired, and you're up.
Tampering rules does not imply on All-Star Weekend.
Good one, LeBron. That was actually all right. Sort of funny. Team LeBron is now Team Tamper. I love it. If you're him, why wouldn't you pick every single one of those guys? It is a business. He's doing business. And one thing's pretty certain. This guy obviously did not come to Los Angeles just to work his production company and his movie career. He didn't come to LA just to put his feet up by a pool. This guy wants to win. He wants to win right now. Round one is over. There are 11 more to go. Yesterday was a really bad day for Magic and the Lakers. And then it got a little bit better. But the best is still yet to come, potentially. Let's get it on. Lakers do not have what the Celtics have to offer. But does Kyrie want to be there? Does it even matter as it relates to Anthony Davis? Does Anthony Davis even want to be there? Yeah, that would matter. And who is going to end up with the first pick overall for Zion? Something else that does matter. Yesterday was awesome. The next 4 months might be even better.
Can't wait.
It has never been easier with SelectQuote.
If you're like me, you have a mortgage and a family who depends on your income. Then you need to protect the ones that you love with life insurance. Life insurance can pay off a mortgage or help send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. You think you can't afford it? Chances are, SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. Here's an example. SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $19 a month, or a 37-year-old female a $750,000 policy for under $22 a month. A cup of coffee costs more than that. It's going to save you money. It's going to save you time. And yes, you want life insurance. It's important. If you pass, life insurance is your income replacement. It can help your spouse or partner pay off the mortgage or pay for college. Let SelectQuote save you time and money. Get your free quote at SelectQuote.com/Rome right now. That's SelectQuote.com/Rome. Get a free quote. Do not put off protecting your family even one more day. SelectQuote.com/Rome. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states. Mark Stein is my guest. Great to have you back, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm awake. I'm alive. I made it.
I hear you. You made it through a trade deadline.
To the other side.
I know, right? You're like a lot of guys who are sweating the trade deadline. You did your work.
Man,
you got your grind on.
We are such. It is the greatest. We have nothing to complain about. We are lucky that everybody hangs on every move. And we had more than 20 in the last week. Good times.
Best times. All right, so Anthony Davis was not somebody who moved. When you look at the situation involving Davis, the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Celtics, what kind of general thoughts do you have right now?
You know, the Pelicans held firm, and I think they had to. You know, there was enough conversation at the start of the week that I thought, wow, is it maybe they just want to move on. Maybe they would just say, you know what, let's just get out from under this cloud and do something with the Lakers. But no, they did the right thing. And look, sometimes from a basketball perspective, there's no one in the basketball side of things that would have wanted to do something now. They know it's best to wait, but you never know how ownership's going to feel. You never know if ownership's going to say, let's move on. Our fans want to move on. Let's just do the best we can. But it turns out that, you know, the Pelicans ownership is NFL ownership, and, you know, they kind of had the same thing. Let's wait. We're not going to give the Lakers what they want. We're not going to give Anthony Davis what he wants. And the reality is waiting is the smart thing, because it just broadens their options, and they will have better options come June and really come May. Once we know the lottery, things will start happening. Once we know the lottery order.
Mark Stein joining us. I hear exactly what you just said. Let me ask you this a different way. Was there any way for the Lakers to handle that situation any differently so they would have ended up with Davis before the deadline, or was that just not going to happen?
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything they could have offered there, because, you know, one of the funniest things is when it came out at some point that, you know, the Lakers somehow leaked something along the lines of, if the Pelicans don't take this, we're moving on to other targets. You're not moving on.
Sure you're not.
And everybody knows you're not moving on to other targets. There's nothing that except Zubac now, who they can't include Zubac because they traded him to the Clippers. But there's nothing that the Lakers could have offered this week that won't be there for the Pelicans later. They need Anthony Davis desperately, and everybody knows it. So that's why it made sense for the Pelicans to wait.
Mark Stein's an NBA reporter for the New York Times. So, Mark, when you look at what Boston has to offer New Orleans in terms of talent and picks, exactly how does L.A. compete with that?
Well, here's the thing. Boston can certainly beat them. And look, if the Knicks win the lottery, which, again, is not a great chance, even if they have the worst record, they're only going to have a 14% chance at it, just like the other teams in the bottom three. But let's just say the Knicks win the lottery and now have the chance to draft Zion, six other first-round picks in the next 5 years, and some pretty decent young players like Kevin Knox and Ntilikina. They just got Dennis Smith. If the Pelicans decide they like any of those guys, the Knicks will become a factor in this thing. But the question, I'm looking at it differently. My question is, I would love to get inside the head of Danny Ainge, because we all say Danny Ainge is a gambler. Danny Ainge would trade his son if he had to. We all say Danny Ainge would do anything, but will he really do anything for Anthony Davis? Davis is adamant that he's not signing a long-term deal there. And I know people will say, KG said the same thing. KG didn't want to play in Boston. Well, Paul Pierce helped talk KG into that. Is Danny Ainge really going to trade everything? Is he going to give up Tatum for a year and a half, for a season of Anthony Davis? And then the other question is Anthony Davis really as firm about not wanting to play in Boston as all the signals we've gotten so far? So there are other elements to the equation besides, do the Lakers have any chance to beat Boston's best offer? The Celtics got to think about this. This is not a no-brainer.
I could not agree more. That's my favorite aspect of this whole thing. I mean, he's made it very clear he does not want to be there, but is it possible? Like, if Kyrie is, we know AD and Kyrie are tight. Is it possible or even likely that it turns into another Paul George scenario where he stays there for a year and decides he likes it? How possible is that?
And the Celtics are one of those teams that usually has the confidence to say, we will bet on that. Boston's a team like that. Oklahoma City just did it, like you mentioned. Houston is a team like that. The Mavericks just did it with Porzingis. You know, Porzingis gave the Knicks a list of four teams he wanted to go to. We reported that earlier this week. The Mavs were not on that list. Dallas did the trade anyway. So there are teams out there that are willing to do that. And again, Danny Ainge is about as fearless as it comes. And maybe he will say, we're going to do it. We're going to put all our chips in. We're going to get Anthony Davis here, and there's no way he's leaving Boston once he gets a taste of what it's like to play for the Celtics. But that is – are you allowed to say ballsy on the radio?
Yes.
That is a ballsy move to do that, to put all your chips in there, because they've got – you know, because if you do it, you can't undo it. So they better be sure. They better be sure. And that thing, they can't be sure. They better be confident that they can – keep that guy.
You know, it's ballsy saying ballsy on the radio. You're right, though. That's a brass
is
move.
Is that allowed? I don't know. I hope I didn't.
It is. We're good. You're good. I'm good. You know, when you look at all the moves, Mark Stein joins us. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. When you look at all the moves in the East, Mark, trades by Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, if you had to pick one team to come out of the East right now, who would it be? Or is that impossible? And so you see how these pieces all fit together for three of the four big teams in the East.
I mean, it is impossible, but we don't have radio shows to say no comment. So, I still think Boston can come out of that group. Just, again, it hasn't looked great for them, but they do have a continuity edge over the other three teams. I mean, Milwaukee, Mirotić is really going to help them. I mean, he is perfect for them. But let's also be honest. The Bucks haven't been there. It's going to be totally new territory for them. And teams that shoot the three as much as they do, does that, you know, that in the playoffs, there's going to be skepticism. Can the Bucks really win in the playoffs relying on so many outside shooters? Or, you know, besides, obviously Giannis lives at the rim, but the other guys, you're really, you know, they got to make shots, and those shots get more difficult in the playoffs when the pressure's on and teams have more time to prepare for you defensively. Philadelphia obviously has a great ceiling, but they've got 25 games to get a chemistry. And look, we've seen before they got Tobias Harris, at their best, they can win in Golden State, but there's been ups and downs just bringing in Jimmy Butler. So I still, and Toronto is really interesting, and Gasol is such a great team player. I have to think he's going to help them, but there are fit questions there. You know, what does this mean for Ibaka now? So I'm not ready to write off Boston's chances of coming out of the East, but here, just the fact that it's going to be so good at the East, at the top of the East, it's so badly what this league needs right now, because there's this big conversation about, it's all about trades, it's all about transactions, this is all people care about. The basketball has to be really good to make us care about the basketball. And the Warriors are such overwhelming favorites in the West. We need a great Eastern Conference playoffs. We need those four teams to beat each other up. And we need someone good to come out of the East and give the Warriors a series, or we're just going to stay focused on trades and free agency. So I'm just hopeful that whoever comes out of the East, that we get a good Eastern Conference playoff.
And I think you're right. I think you've got some major players in the East that are going to beat the hell out of each other, and somebody's going to come out of that, and I think they're going to be a factor. I think they'll be a factor. I'm not going to say that anybody coming out of the East is the team to beat over Golden State, because we know that's not true. Really quickly, Mark, before you go, what did you make of Kevin Durant and the way that played out? You know, KD didn't have much to say for the better part of 7 days or 9 days, and then when he finally did have something to say, he had a little something for the media. I know you saw those comments. What did you make of that as you watched that play out?
I was surprised that he was that angry, but look, it was an honest reaction in a real-time moment, and it happens, and, you know, the story that night was not free agency. He made it a story by not talking for 9 days. That's why it became an issue. Now, is he tired of all the speculation? I'm sure he is, but, you know, to me, that was a rare bad moment from a guy who generally is as accessible as any star in this league is today. So I don't look at it as some heinous thing that he owes forgiveness to. And look, this is the way it is. There's a give and take, and there's times that guys get mad at the media, and there's times that we get frustrated with the athletes we cover. I mean, it happens. So, I mean, I wasn't so bent out of shape by it, but I was surprised. I mean, he really let loose. and I think the Warriors were surprised. I don't think they expected it either.
No, I agree. I'm not offended by that. I think that maybe even he maybe would like to have that back, or maybe he wouldn't, but you're right. He actually is one of the more accessible superstars in that league or any league, but it's going to wear on guys, and he's got a few more months of that to be sure. Mark Stein, Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend. One thing, Mark, before you go. So, Dell Demps, I thought, had himself a day. It has not been easy. He does not have an easy job now being where he is. And I thought that he worked and played the Lakers and is a Big West guy myself. And I know you're a Big West guy. You got to like that. I tweeted out a video. Our guy, Seth Greenberg, who's also a Big West guy or Big West roots, jumped in there and reminded me, come on, Rome, how do you not mention Long Beach State? And Seth actually tweeted, quote, "We won the game and we won the fight." I don't know about you. I just like the Big West. And all these guys, you, me, Dell, Seth, have all gone on to other things. Brian Shaw. I just like that we have not forgotten our roots. You're proud of your Big West roots, aren't you?
I thought you were doing it to him just like the Pelicans were doing to the Lakers. I thought you were intentionally trying to get into his head, and it worked. You intentionally left him out, and look what happened. You got a reaction. It was beautiful.
No, Seth. We go way back. Seth, he said that with a smile on his face, but he did want to remind me, we won the game and we won the fight. And I know exactly what he's talking about. They did win the game and they did win the fight. However, don't forget about the Big West, Mark. I don't care how many followers you have, bro.
Conversations with him never end well, so you did better than me.
Well, it'll come around. You know how it is. These things all come around, right? Just, it's a war of attrition. Wait it out. It will come around. You know that, Mark. You know that.
Well, Dell Demps must feel like he's going 1-on-5 against Vintage Vegas with this thing, because it is, and the Pelicans still got a lot to figure out here, but they did the right thing.
He may be going 1-on-5, but he just dropped 40-on-5, so good for him. Mark Stein, covering the NBA for the New York Times, and he is all over all of it. Mark, great to have you back. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Be good.
Be good. The first thing I'm doing after I get home is getting in a workout, and I'm doing it with my Aftershocks headphones. Aftershocks features patented bone conduction technology. The headphones do not go inside your ear like earbuds that hurt or fall out. Aftershocks rest gently just outside. Yeah, I said it. Outside your ear, and produce sound by sending mini vibrations through your cheekbone to your inner ear, bypassing your eardrum. Aftershocks are also perfect if you're out running or biking, since you need to hear. It's a huge safety factor because they don't go right in your ears. Aftershocks are super comfortable. They're flexible. They're awesome sounding, and they're lightweight. I am amazed by these headphones and the technology. In fact, I am never going back to regular headphones ever again. Aftershocks wireless open-ear headphones are the coolest products ever. Order an Aftershocks tech bundle right now and get $50 off. Just hit rome.aftershocks.com and use code ROME at checkout. That's the word after and then SHOKZ.com. Rome.aftershocks.com. I'm trying to make good decisions. I'm trying to make good choices. Like last week in Atlanta, I did nothing but go back to the hotel room. Back here in SoCal, I'm trying to do the right things. Now, I said on Wednesday of this week, I finally started turning the corner. Even got back on the Peloton saddle. Felt great. Got a good sweat. Felt great like it always does. So, not only did I turn the corner with my body, I was turning the corner with my mind. Choices, yo. Make good choices. You know, like the choice to not only get the cardio in, but to get the lean protein and the clean burning fuel in. So to wrap the week, I want to make the best choices possible. I come into work today with my plan, the game plan. Game plan being protein bar for breakfast, extremely lean meal, and Peloton for lunch. All of that is going to lead me into a nice dinner tonight, something I haven't had in 2 weeks, and a chance to reset from 2 straight weeks of grinding with a sinus infection. Locked in, making good choices, bouncing back, feeling better and better, trusting the process. And the process included a Quest protein bar at 7:30 a.m., chased by a matcha green tea right after. I'm good. I'm focused. So I get into my office, and what is the first thing that I see? A freaking sausage and egg McMuffin from McCracky's.
No!
You have to understand, that is really unusual. I'm going to say in the last 5 years, I've had that happen twice. Really, really unusual. TGIF, the game plan is effed. Now you tell me. You tell me what you would do if you were me. You roll into work. You're at mile 25 of the marathon. You're busted up. Like, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Your inhibition is down. Your mind is playing tricks on you. It's telling you, you deserve it. You earned it. You've been grinding out 2 straight weeks without a day off. You're sick. But the other side, you're thinking, you got a plan. You got a plan. But I'll be honest, when I was driving in this morning, a little bit late too, because I've been fighting it, a little bit late. I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm sick of that freaking protein bar. Man, I hate that thing. I've been eating that thing every single day. And I actually thought about ditching the plan, hitting Starbucks. But I was running a little bit late, so I didn't. So I mentally hit reset. I lock back in. I come into the office. I'm ready to grind. Bam! There it is, wrapped in that trademark yellow paper, burning a grease hole right through my desk. A sausage McMuffin, the king of breakfast sandos, second only to donuts in the all-time power rankings of food. There it is, talking junk to me, taunting me, tempting my weakest impulse. What would you do? What did I do? What would you do? I'll tell you what I did. The same thing you do. Man, I grabbed that thing and I held it over the garbage can. I held it over the garbage can. I looked at it. I talked junk to it. And then I unwrapped it, chopped it up, rolled up a George Washington, and hoovered it. Absolutely. Straight crack. And let me tell you something. When that greasy Sando hit the bloodstream, to quote that one dude that I once met who told me what it was like to do heroin, I was riding the horse, yo. And I don't mean shared belief. My only regret is that whoever did bring me that Sando did not pony up for a second one. As if there's not an epic 2-for-4 deal going on right now. Now, if you're anything like me, and I know you are, because anybody who ever does something like this has the same mindset. Once that hits your bloodstream, you think two things. Number one, this rush feels so amazing, I need to hit it again. Or you think, all right, that might be a terrible choice. Screw it. The day is wrecked. I broke format. I already blew it. I feel like crap about myself. I'm going all in. I'll start over again tomorrow. Am I right? This is how one slice of pizza at lunch leads to 4 slices of pizza. So I'm tripping. Man, I'm fiending. There is not another cracky entree, but let me tell you what there is. Snickers bars to the roof. Skittles, the two best candies in the world, are in our house. It's 7 a.m. I've already had an Egg McMuffin, and I'm thinking about chasing that with a Snickers bar or four. All hell is breaking loose because Snickers bars are the greatest candy bars in the world. And if that happens, who knows what happens to this show? I'm telling you. And then I'm thinking about one guy. Before it comes off the rails and everything goes to hell, I'm thinking about one guy. Hey, I love Snickers bars. I'm so glad they're partners. I'm thinking about one guy in the back of my head. Former Navy SEAL and resident badass Jocko Willink. I've been trying to get Jocko on my podcast. He wrote one of the best books I've ever read in my life. The book's called Discipline Equals Freedom. It is a brilliant book. I've read it several times. I'm a huge Jocko fan. 4 days ago, Jocko tweeted this amazing video. He tweeted it. So right before I come off the rails and I make another run to Mickey D's or I go for some candy, I watch the video again, Alvin.
Does the alarm clock snooze button crawl across your bed and put itself on your finger in order to hit snooze? Does a donut get out of the box and sneak into your mouth? Does comfort set up an ambush on your way to the gym and open fire and prevent you from going in the gym? No, none of these things happen. Comfort does not ambush you. You ambush yourself. Don't let it happen. Go get some.
All right, so I'm thinking about this guy. Does a donut sneak out of the box and put itself in your mouth? One of the greatest lines in the history of lines. I'm telling you, man. No, Keith Arnold ambushed me. I didn't ambush myself. He left that thing on my desk. But Jocko would say that that McCracky's didn't unwrap itself and sneak into my mouth, and he'd be right. I stopped the bleeding. I thought of Jocko. Brandon Clark is my guest. Brandon, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Hello, Jim. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great. It's great to have you. I appreciate you doing it. Listen, I mentioned you had a monstrous game last night. You had a double-double. You had five blocks. Your 16 rebounds were the most in school history in a game at the Kennel. Let me start right there. How proud were you not only of how you played, but how the entire team played last night?
Yeah, you know, I was just super, super proud, really. You know, it was a really fun game to play in. I just feel like our team energy was really good that night. I feel like everything was just clicking. Our defense was really good as a team, as a whole. And it was just a really, really fun night. And I was actually lucky enough to break a couple of records that night.
You did. In fact, your five block shots last night gave you 74 on the year, which is a new school record for block shots in a single season. And on top of that, obviously, you got a lot of time left this year. When you look at the big men who have come through that program, what's it mean to see your name on top of that list?
Yeah, you know, it just means so much to me. There's been so many great bigs here, you know, just so many great players to, you know, so just to have my name up there with them, it just means so much to me. You know, it's just something that I'll never forget and something that I'll always keep really close to me.
Brandon Clark joining us. So what's the secrets being a great shot blocker? For example, how much of that is about size and athleticism, and then how much of that is about timing and positioning?
Yeah, you know, I just really just say timing. I've always been pretty good at it. But as I got taller and I got stronger so I could jump higher, it just kind of made it, you know, a lot easier for me. But definitely timing is the main thing in blocking shots.
Yeah, it seems to me also, Brandon, there's a thing also, there's like a mentality, right? The other thing is you've got to be fearless, especially in the age of Twitter and Instagram, because if you get dunked on, that's going to show up everywhere. And you showed that fearlessness against Tennessee with maybe the block of the year. What do you remember about that play, and how important is it to have that fearlessness in your game?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Pons is a very, very good athlete. He can jump really high, so I mean, obviously kind of scary having to jump up with a guy like that, but I have trust in my jumping too. So, I just trust myself. I trust my teammates that, you know, they got my back. So, you know, I'll always jump for them and I'm sure they'll always jump for me too. So.
That was the block of the year. That's an amazing play. We just ran that on CBS Sports Network if you're watching. Now, you beat a really good San Francisco team by 30 last night. You know, for most teams, that'd be a huge night. But for you guys, Brandon, it's like pretty much what you do. You're winning conference games by an average of 29 points. How much are you guys looking to make a statement every time you step on the court, and not just about where you are in conference, but where you stack up with the best teams in the country?
Yeah, you know, Coach is just always telling us how, like, every night we have to go out and, like, make a statement. And I feel like last night we did that. You know, like you said, we've been winning almost every game by 30. So, you know, that's just kind of getting us ready for the future, getting us ready for the tournament. And, you know, we're just taking it one game at a time, and we're just trying to make a statement every game pretty much.
Gonzaga's Brandon Clark joining us. Now, you started your college career at San Jose State. You had a really good thing going there. You were all conference. You had already established yourself as a defensive force. What was it about Gonzaga that made you feel like that would be a good spot for you?
Yeah, I know. It was lots of things, really. But mainly, I would probably say the redshirt program. I was really trying to find a college where I could really just, like, hone in and focus on my shooting and my strength. Which is two things that I've really showed, I feel like. So, you know, just really hats off to the coaches and to Travis Knight for really giving me a chance and for helping me change my game and my body to help me be a much better player.
You know, you touch on it, but what about that redshirt year? What's that like? For instance, you were doing things like running up and down the stairs with a sandbag on your shoulders.
Yeah.
What was that like for you physically and mentally and especially the entire year?
Yeah, you know, it was hard, really. You know, my team was off playing games, and like you said, I was up running up and down stairs with the sandbag on my back instead of playing. You know, it was just lots of workouts, lots of extra lifts on top of practice and the work I already had. So, you know, it was hard. You know, it was hard having to sit at the end of the bench every game. But, you know, it was still good for me because I kind of felt like it got that fire going in me again, and it really had me want to come out, you know, just to prove to the world that I could play, so.
You know what? It's a really unique program. It's an amazing program. And as part of that year, I would imagine, you start to learn the Gonzaga way of doing things. How would you describe what that way is and what life is like as a Zag?
Yeah, I just say for like a player here and being like a player in the program, I feel like there's just like a natural swag here of winning games, which is something that I didn't really have at San Jose State. So I feel like that's really just based off of Coach View, Coach Tommy, just doing such a great job throughout the years, making it so Gonzaga is just always, you know, just a really good team. And I just feel like it's kind of like a swag that they've gotten going the past, like, 20 years now.
Hey Brandon, I've known Mark View for about 20 years, and he's always been one of my favorite guys. I really hold him in really high regard for so long. He and I, you know, I used to talk about it, and then it wasn't really something funny anymore, but it was always like, when are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And he made it clear that I don't have to go anywhere. I can accomplish everything I want to accomplish right where I am, and certainly he's done that. He's built a monster right there. What's he like to play for?
Pardon me? What do I like to play for?
Yeah, no, what's Mark Few like to play for?
Oh, you know, Coach View is a great, great coach, first off. One of the best coaches ever, period. He's just really clear with what he wants from his players, which kind of, you know, really, really helps us just, you know, go out and play hard every night. You know, he just keeps it super real with us, too. You know, so that just makes it much easier to play for him. He's really easy to play under, too. So that just makes, you know, playing for him and winning games that much more fun.
Brandon Clark, my guest. Before I let you go, you're in a position right now where you're getting a lot of run as a potential National Defensive Player of the Year. And at the same time, I know a lot of your fans were angry that you were not included on the Wooden Award Top 20 last season watch list. Did that bother you? Did you get any kind of motivation or juice or fuel from that?
Maybe a bit, yeah. I'm not really a big accolade guy. I just kind of like to go out and, you know, try to win every night. Is it cool to see my name up there? Yeah. But it does add maybe a bit of fire. But, you know, I'm not really that big on accolades. I'm just really trying to win games, to be honest.
I know it. You're part of a team that's got nominees for the Cousy Award, the Wooden Award, the National Defensive Player of the Year Award. You're a part of a big three in the front court that is loaded with NBA talent. So, in other words, this team is good. This team is good. Does it feel like it's Final Four good or even National Championship good?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, we have just so much offensive firepower. Our defense at the start of the year wasn't all that great, but we've been really focusing on that during practice. And I feel like it's been showing during games. But I feel like that we have every piece that it takes to win a championship this year. So I feel like if we just keep working that, it's a very possible thing for us.
All right, so finally, as long as you and I are being real, Josh Perkins is a finalist for a number of awards, including the Cousy. But be real. What's he like as a Fortnite player Is he the best Fortnite player on the team, or you?
It's definitely me. I mean, playing with Perk is actually really fun. It's funny because he's not the best, but he like does what's best for the squad. You know, if he gets a gun that's like really good, he knows to like give it to a player that's better than him. So it's kind of like just like on the court, I guess. He's a really good passer, and you know, he just makes his teammates better. So I feel like it's kind of like that in Fortnite, but he's definitely not better than me though.
Friday's Daily Jungle is repped by Capterra. Hey yo, remember 1989, the year the World Wide Web was invented? Yeah, we've come a long way in 30 years. So why does it feel like the software that you use every single day at work is stuck in the past? Take a leap into the future by finding the right software for your business on Capterra.com. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. With over 700,000 reviews of products from real software users, discover everything you need to make an informed decision. Search more than 700 specific categories of software, everything from project management to email marketing to yoga studio management software. Fact is, I would be absolutely lost without Capterra. I have to maintain relationships and stay in contact with several hundred radio stations. Capterra helps me do that, and they can help you with your business too. Visit capterra.com/Rome for free today and find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. Capterra.com/Rome. Capterra, CAPTERRA.com/Rome. Capterra.com/Rome. Then go ahead and do what you do, Alvy. The week that was. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. And again, I am back. I'm looking for telephone calls. We had our broadcast from Radio Row. Give me this. A little congested, right? In my head, my sinus. I can't hear myself. Can't feel myself thinking. I'm not responsible for what comes flying out of my pie hole today. But that might not have been the greatest game ever, but that was the greatest coaching performance ever.
Yeah! The Patriots have won.
Patriots outplayed them. Patriots outclassed them. Patriots outcoached them. Patriots out-executed them. Deserve to win that game. Period. Robert Klemko is my guest.
Belichick is honestly as advertised. Probably walking out thinking about how much he's going to have to pay some guy to repaint his boat from 7 rings to 8 rings.
We believe he'll, quote, bleep in his pants.
If every time you drop back, you were wearing Dante Hightower or Kyle Van Noy, you'd probably have a big dump in your pants, too.
Dump in your pants.
They started the game by going punt, punt, punt. The defense was on the field a hell of a long time. They had their shots, but unlike the Patriots, they simply did not cash them in.
Gonna break out the Jag XJA today. Take the gambling winnings. Head down to Lincoln, Rhode Island. One River Casino to parlay it.
Ben Vohan is my guest.
Roman, man, it's unbelievable. 4 out of 5 years, they make it to the Super Bowl. 3 championships, Tom Brady keeping it going at 41 years old. We'll never see anything like this again.
Man, you want sad? You want pathetic? You want embarrassing? Do you know how many meals I had outside that hotel room? None. Zero.
0.0.
Not one. I had room service every freaking
that's
meal.
Impossible.
I've never done crack, and I'm going to imagine that's what crack is like.
Crack is whack.
That chocolate shake was amazing.
Amazing.
Chris Mack.
The cheesy roll-up weren't very rolled up. They weren't very fresh. They weren't very hot. Cheese wasn't melted.
What is your go-to sauce?
There's only one sauce I recommend, Jim. That would be the fire sauce.
Email.
Or AC Green crying after his first wrestling match.
Your clones are like your middle-aged loser, alcoholic, gambling, degenerate cousins that you normally don't talk to. But Rome, you're a good enough guy to shake my hand.
Noob, you brown-nosing little bitch.
He goes, hey, man, I think I saw you napping it out in the office. Pretty nice, huh? I said, maybe I'm a little overworked. He's like, ha, ha, aren't we all? Oh, dude, you think you work hard.
Golden ticket. Of course I'll take that.
Ah! You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror.
If I was a parent and had a kid who could play, and the coach came in and just told that story, I'm like, give me the pen.
Be a dog.
The guy who showed up on the set that you looked at and immediately knew why.
Jeff Hostetler.
Not Jeff Hostetler. Saquon.
Twitter.
You're looking for me to defend that prickly little a-hole David Stern. That's not going to happen.
Brandon Ingram in his third year out of Duke.
Ron's going to trade you.
16 points last year in year two. Is it 17?
Ron's
going
to trade you. That is so cold. It's got to hurt because you know there's some truth to it. Damn. What the hell just happened across the street?
Definitely miss it. You're and right. I'll miss being on the show with you too.
Sorry, Romy. I can't come on the program anymore. I'm too busy doing the Tobias Harris deal. It's setting us up for the big summer. That's funny. Dana White joining us. Dana, you were pretty critical of Oscar De La Hoya for his involvement.
I've been telling you
Dana, was that me or you?
No, yeah. I could tell a tough question was coming, so that's my new system for tough questions.
Jano, do you want to go to South Africa or not? Do you want that safari or not? Believe me, if I get a 2-for-1, you're going under the knife, too. If I get a 4-for-1, the kids will, too. Hey, Logan, did you want to come back to school looking well-rested and refreshed?
Or Giannis pointing to the heavens at Monday night's victory and accidentally tickling the good Lord's feet.
That's some big West Jerry Tarkanian. That's the Dell Demps you're coming for. There should be a banner in the New Orleans rafters with Dell Demps' name on it.
Don't you ever
jack with the Big West.
For the win! He got it!
Magic and Pelinka could not beat the clock, so Rondo beat it last night.
Hey-o!
Does not make up for not getting Anthony Davis.
But man, it could have been so much worse.
Shots fired.
A freaking sausage and egg McMuffin from McCracky's.
No! Don't let it happen. Go get some.
The game plan is
But there's always a Kit Kat sitting there screaming to you, come and eat me.
Mark Stein is my guest.
He's leaving Boston once he gets a taste of what it's like to play for the Celtics. But that is, are you allowed to say ballsy on the radio? That
yes.
is a ballsy move to do that.
You know, it's ballsy saying ballsy on the radio.
He has made his choice about what hill he's willing to die on, and that hill is Dong Hill.
Super motivated and went like 9, 10, 485, and he picked up the phone, Jim Rome Show.
Jim Rome Show.
Can you not scream at the callers?
That's just the way I sound, boss.
Call a baller. Macho Man Randy Savage.
What's the Massachusetts?
What's the name of that restaurant?
Always good to be on, man.
I'm the dude.
Disappointing the dude.
Stop or Chris Stapp?
250-pound bear.
Oh, I know why athletes do roids. They work.
We need more dogs.
Unethical.
Sandwich, bitch.
All right, thanks, Jim. The best to you.
Not monkey corn.
Jim, are you still there?
PhD in load management.
Meek Mill.
What up, Deck?
That's horrible.
Good night now!
We are joined by Lawrence Guy. Lawrence, it's great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Man, I'm great. It's really good to visit with you. It's been a few days since you won the Super Bowl and the parade. So let me ask you, how is life for you as a Super Bowl champion? Has it sunk in, and does it feel the way you thought it would?
Oh, it's amazing. And it sunk in once we got onto the parade float. It's one of those things that you always dream about, but once you get to live it, it's like, man, this is a great memory. I'm going to cherish this for the rest of my life. And then the next couple of days, people were like, how was the parade? I'm like, over a million plus people showed out to honor us, so it was amazing. So it is constantly this joyful days waking up, remembering the events happening.
Lawrence Guy joining us. I'll tell you what, from the outside looking in, it looked like it was a blast. And talking to you right now, it sounds like it was a blast. Before we get into the Super Bowl and what it's like to be a champ, let me ask you, you and the defense came into that game with an incredible game plan for stopping the Rams' offense. As you were scouting them, what did you see, and what was your mindset as a defense going into that game?
Oh, all we thought about was if we play good technical football, when we play together as a unit and we put everything out on the line, that we were going to come out with a win. Didn't matter what you was throwing at us, and we knew if we eliminated the big plays, any play that they did get, go to the next play and continue to play hard, that the outcome was going to be good for us. And, you know, we have faith in our offense to score points and do everything they can to maintain the clock. So we just went out there and it was like, hey, we know what they're going to do. We know we have to stop the run. We have to get pressure on the quarterback. And we got to just make the game disruptive for everybody, and that's what we did.
Patriots defensive lineman Lawrence Guy is joining us. Rams offensive tackle Andrew Whitworth said after the game he felt like you guys completely changed your tendencies and your schemes for the game. Is that what happened, and did you feel like the Rams and Jared Goff in particular were maybe a little bit confused?
Well, each game you game plan, right? So with this game, we had a game plan for this for that game, like we did the previous week coming up. But I just felt like when we went out there, we understood what was going on, and when they adjusted, we adjusted. It wasn't we were stuck in one little idea like this is what we're going to do. We adjusted as they adjusted. If they figured something out, we were doing. We were going to change it up on the sideline and put more pressure or take it off, just to continue to confuse what was going on. And it looks like, it sounds like what he's saying, it's like that's exactly what happened. But, you know, with our defense, every player can play multiple positions, and that's the best thing about it. We had a player, we had Patrick Chung go down, we had somebody else come in. So the best thing about how we played is it didn't matter where you lined up, you can line up anywhere and play good football, and that's what, exactly what we do each week out.
Lawrence Guy joining us. That's so true, right? When Chung went down, he is so important to that defense and such a leader on that defense. And you guys kept right on rolling. Your teammate Kyle Van Noy said after the game, quote, "We don't got stars. We got elite football players," end quote. I mean, it might not be a team that's loaded with household names, but just how well do those pieces on that defense fit together and make for a special group?
Oh, it's, you see it in the play. He made a perfect comment because that's exactly what we are. We compete with each other each week out. So you'll see, like you saw at the beginning of the season, that we're consistently building a relationship with the new players and the players that was on for the previous year. We keep building that relationship, and we keep growing together each play at a time, each practice at a time, for every little piece in there matches. It's like playing the chess game. You can use every piece on the board, and that's what we do. We utilize every player on our team, and we go out there and we play good, compatible football. It doesn't matter if you're on the left, on the right, you're in the middle. If that's your job, you're great at that job. If your job is to get pressure in the middle and that's all you do the whole game, we know you're going to get pressure every single play that you're in. And that's what's so good about it, that we could constantly could change roles and understand that we're going to be compatible with the person next to us because we got that relationship that we built.
Patriot Lawrence Guy is a Super Bowl champion. You know, when you lay it out like that, you're talking about, I think, in effect, the Patriot way. And I think you can speak to this because your journey to get where you are is amazing in the sense that you were drafted in the 7th round by the Packers, and then you spent some time on their practice squad, and then the Colts signed you, and then the Chargers, and then the Ravens, and then the Patriots. I mean, it would have been easy for you to give up at some point along the way, but you never did. How come, and what kept you going?
Well, those are one of the things. This was my dream. And I wasn't going to be denied with it. My wife was a big supporter of that, and she helped push me throughout the way. But when you have a goal of trying to be the best you can in that job that you're doing, and nothing could hold you back. And that's what my whole mindset was nobody going to tell me that somebody else was going to be better than me, or I did not belong in this league, or I didn't belong on a team. So every single year, I train harder, study more to get where I'm at. And as long as you have that ideal in your mind and that goal set, you could accomplish anything in life. It doesn't matter how many times somebody tells you no. Like, I'm a perfect example of what I went through. How many times people kept telling me, no, no, you're not going to make it. Well, you're not good enough to be on this team. Well, if we want somebody else, they just put that drive in you. Like, well, I'm going to keep doing it until I force my way into this. And that's pretty much what my whole idea was. I forced my way into it and started growing more and more so I could accomplish what I have accomplished today.
Patriots defensive lineman Lawrence Guy joining us. The thing is, and it's, if it were just football, that'd be pretty amazing in and of itself, but it's not just football. One of the things that's been a major part of your journey is the fact that you've been an advocate for students with learning difficulties. I want to get into your role as an advocate in a minute, but can you take me back? When you were a student growing up in Las Vegas, what was school like for you?
Oh, you know, it was challenging. Trying to get the basics of everyday activities in the classroom and stuff like that. It was a challenge for me because dealing with what I had to go with my learning challenges. So actually, sports was the thing that helped me out because it helped me get the repetitive motion down of how I needed to learn in the classroom and to put it that on the field or on the mat or whatever I was doing at that time. So it was a challenge, you know, and every single day, every year was a new challenge. I had a goal to get, and every time I succeeded that goal, I just put another one ahead of me, and I did that over the years to get where I'm at and to get what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to go to college, so I had to put that goal that I needed to get to college, and when I got to college, I was like, I need to stay in college and continue to grow and get a high GPA, and that's exactly what I did.
All right, so what happened here? Like, early on, maybe you weren't exactly sure what was going on, or the teachers did not really know what to do with you, but when you arrived at Arizona State, they did some tests, and they identified the challenges, and then you started to kill it academically. You got a GPA of 3.5. You got the title of Scholar Baller. What was it like to finally have everything identified and then to be able to transform your educational experience as a result of knowing what you were dealing with?
It was good because we knew I had ADD and learning challenges throughout elementary, middle school, and high school because I had all of my documents. My grandma's a special ed teacher, and my dad jumped on it immediately when I was younger. So we knew that we didn't have a name for what it was until I was leaving college and going to the NFL, where we found the building that DRT offered the test, and they actually put names on them because it's a very expensive test to get. So when they offered it for free, and they're like, hey, these are the tests we could do, I did those tests, got the name of what it was, but I could just have a name to it. But that didn't happen until later on, and it kind of clicked on why everything was happening a certain way. But like earlier in college, it took me an opportunity to take advantage of these resources when I had to have a talk with my dad and the academic advisors telling me, hey, we might need some extra help. Don't be shy to get these extra help. And I got out of my bubble like, you're right. Need the extra help. I don't need to sit here and have this stigma in my mind of, well, everybody sees me going to this building getting tutoring sessions, or I get extra time, or I get this. Once I got that out of my mind and took advantage of those resources, have every tutor I known to man that could help me, it helped me understand how they picked up stuff and took apart how they did it and utilized it and how I learned stuff, I became successful in the classroom, and I became that scholar baller, and I became that advocate to other athletes to tell them, hey, not a problem that you might learn a little bit differently. You might need a little bit more help, but get the help. And nobody's going to look at you differently. And once they started doing that, once I started doing that, it, like, you see the growth in everybody. And I saw the growth in myself as how I was in everyday life.
Yeah, so really quickly, it's such a key point. It's really important. An advocate to other athletes, but to other people. For instance, if somebody's listening right now and they're dealing with some of the challenges that you have faced, what would you say to that person?
I'll say this. If you're younger, talk to your parents. They'd be the first resource that you could have. Your parents could go out there and help you out. If you're older, talk to your professors. Find the counselors. Find anybody that could have an idea of where you could go to. And it might not be the first time around where they exactly know where to go, but if you consistently want to get better at what you're struggling with, nothing hurts to ask. And the only thing that hurts is not to ask and to feel like somebody might judge you, because nobody's going to ever judge you for asking. You're only going to better yourself. And if anybody that is judging you about asking for help or anything, you shouldn't be around that person anyway, because they're not trying to help you out through your life and get you to grow.
Patriots defensive tackle Lawrence Guy with some great advice. Last thought, a couple of weeks back, and I appreciate you sharing that story. You and your wife, Andrea, had the ultimate baby gender reveal at Gillette Stadium, complete with fireworks and the entire stadium being lit up blue. How did that come about, and then what was it like knowing that your second child is going to be a boy?
Oh, it was amazing. So we was going for a big gender reveal, because the first one we didn't do was a gender reveal. We did went to some ultrasound, and I remember asking her, like, maybe we should reach out to the Patriots to see if we could do it at the stadium. And they were like, yeah, we should try. So we reached out to Donna, head of community relations, and say, hey, any way that we can do the ginger ale on the field after the AFC championship. And they're like, well, it's a way. So we could do it the next week if we win. I'm like, cool. So once we won that, we set it up, gave her the paper, and she pretty much set everything up in the facility for us. And all we did is we had to show up, and she was like, it was amazing. So she told us she had the paper for about a few days, and she was like, only three people knew, because we wanted to get her around the building. And she was like, we're just going to sit here. We set up the fireworks, did that, and had some songs playing at the end of the reveal. And they was like, it's the biggest thing everybody could see, you know. And everybody around the Patriot Place was solid, and they was wondering what was going on. But when it got posted in the news media, news crews were actually out there finishing up their daily interviews and saw it in the background, it became a big thing. And me and my wife were just thrilled, and having a boy is awesome because I got a girl and a boy now. So, you know, everything else is great.
You win the smack off and you call and your name is Vic in NoCal. I put you right up. Victor.
What's up?
What's up?
Yeah. I want to shout out to James Kelly, first of all. Always good to have the deck in the house. What up, deck? And you know, Rome, as I was saying last time I called you before I was so rudely interrupted by the dump button, there are certain guys in the jungle who are consistent with a brand, you know? Like Brad and Corona called recently to talk at length about circumcision, and that was predictable. I mean, the guy has made his choice, you know? It's been a decade now since Mike DiTola pointed out Brad's creepy, super bad-like obsession with the male unit. But Brad, much like Tom Brady, is still going as strong as ever, you know? It's kind of admirable. I mean, the man is dedicated to his craft, you know? He's committed. He has made his choice about what hill he's willing to die on, and that hill is Dong Hill. But, hey, Brad, I was kind of hoping that in your call you were going to take a little bit of a run at Jim Rome, you know? I mean, since that's kind of like your new thing now to call in and roast whoever's hosting that day. But what's the matter, dude? Are you afraid of old Romy? You only going to go after the low-hanging fruit like Brian Weber? I mean, come on, man. Do a little roast to Jim Rome. I want to hear it. Now, speaking of brands, Rome, Bonkin' Buffalo has a brand, and that is to speak in an idiotic wrestling voice while he cracks on things that are much better than him, you know, like me or the New England Patriots. You know, for the last few weeks, Rome, I've been telling people that Julius Edelman is a Hall of Famer. And meanwhile, this moron was calling into the show with, Julian Edelman sucks. Then the Super Bowl happened, and, well, one of us was right, the other was bonk. Dude, Edelman is definitely a Hall of Famer, man. You know, the Hall is for guys who have left their mark on the game in legendary moments. You know, all these legendary guys I grew up reading about as a kid, Lynn Swann, Fred Biletnikoff, these legendary Hall of Famers, they had horrible stats, man. I mean, go look them up right now. Terrible stats, but they got famous playing big in big games that everyone remembers, you know, and not just wide receivers, man. Troy Aikman, too. Go look up Troy Aikman's stats. I'm not kidding you. They are downright Kyle Orton-like. Oh, well, Aikman was a key part of three championship teams. Yeah, well, so is Edelman. I mean, you saw that huge game he had against the Chiefs up at Arrowhead, just totally clutch third down conversions. Then he goes out the next game and wins Super Bowl MVP. He had that huge catch against the Falcons 2 years ago, you know, that famous juggling circus catch. He scored the go-ahead touchdown in the Super Bowl win against the Seahawks with 2 minutes left in the game. He had that huge touchdown pass he threw, you know, on that trick play in the playoff game against the Ravens, a game they were losing by double digits. So, yeah, the guy has definitely left his mark on the NFL in the biggest games possible, you know, way more than like some Brandon Marshall racking up stats in meaningless games. Jimmy Smith down there in Jacksonville piling up numbers in the middle of nowhere. Great receivers, but they're not playoff legends. You know, they're not guys who people who don't normally watch football are going to recognize. So that's it for me, bro. War the NFL firing whoever the genius was that ruined the Pro Bowl by moving it from this weekend to 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, which means none of the good players are going to play in it. So late.
Look at Vic with a straight. Mark in Green Bay. Great to have you on the show, Mark.
Jim. Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good, bud. How about you?
Good. Hey, first-time caller, and I was just listening, laughing my rear end off about the McNasty sandwich. I'm comparing it totally. I could completely understand where you're at because I was thinking about, you know how you come home and your kids lay the Halloween candy bag on the freaking table.
Yes.
And you walk by that bag, and I swear it opens up and it calls to you. Eat me. Come over here. You eat. You have your protein drinks, but there's always a Kit Kat sitting there screaming to you. Come and eat me.
Have a look in here.
Good night now!